The Tom Woods Show, episode 855.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
If your homeschool program is making you crazy and running you ragged, don't wait till next term to fix it. Check out the self-taught Ron Paul curriculum right now. Plus, get $160 worth of free bonuses when you join through my link, ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I said on an episode not that long ago that it was my opinion that libertarian students in college classrooms should basically bite their tongues. And not because I'm a coward. For heaven's sake, I'm obviously not a coward. But rather that I think you're fighting the battle on the wrong terrain. The professor dominates that room. And I think also people get annoyed when there's that know-it-all kid in the back and you're holding me up from getting a lunch. They're not saying to themselves, oh, I wonder what my fellow student has to say about some important subject. I guarantee you nobody's thinking that. They're thinking, who is this jerk? Is it this jerk again? Can't I just get my B minus and get out of here already? So I just don't think it works. And secondly, but much more importantly, I think there's a chance you're going to get a lousy grade because there are some professors who are just that petty. And I don't think it's worth doing because in the rest of your life, you have potentially a much larger audience than you have in that classroom. You can reach a lot of people through a lot of different media. Wait until you get that piece of paper and then do everything you want to do. But I just don't think the classroom, strategically, from your own personal point of view, is the best place to do that. Now, on the other hand, my guest today, Marcelo Guadiana, who is a senior at UMass Boston. He is the treasurer of Young Americans for Liberty there, and he was one of the co-founders of the chapter at his university. Disagrees with me, and he wrote to tell me so, and he says that he has done the very thing I've warned people against. So I said, you know what? Get the heck on here. Let's hash it out. Maybe I'm wrong. Not every single episode is going to be about brain surgery. I want to talk about stuff like this once in a while. What's the right thing to do in this situation? And maybe I'm wrong. There's no reason I have to be right about everything. I could be wrong about this. So let's see what Marcelo has to say. Marcelo, thanks for being here.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Let's dive in, first of all, to your difference of opinion with me on strategy regarding what a student should do in a college classroom. I said in a previous episode that it was my opinion that, generally speaking, a libertarian student should shut his mouth. Not because there's anything in principle wrong with speaking up, but simply in practice, you don't necessarily want to run afoul of that unfair professor against whom you have no recourse. My argument is you should keep your eye on the ball. When you graduate, there are millions, if not billions, of people you'll have a chance to educate. Right now, you just got to get that piece of paper and get out of there. Why am I wrong?
Well, yeah, I completely disagree. And let me just start off by bringing up a study that was actually published in the Boston Magazine just last month. So I think it really goes to show how much of a problem the left's control of education really is. So in the front cover of the magazine, it says how liberals are running college. Liberal professors in New England outnumber conservatives 28-1. Why that's bad for everyone. So 28-1 conservative professors are outnumbered. So it's really an astonishing number. And the article goes on to show how it's recently gotten worse over the years. So the ratio was actually 5-1 in 1989. So that's probably around the same time you were going to school in Harvard. But now it's 28-1. So, the article goes on to explain how students are being discouraged from questioning their liberal professors in class or giving their conservative opinions in class, and how there are actually a lot more conservative students out there, but they're scared to come out because they do go to very liberal colleges. So for me, organizing a libertarian club on campus, I've come upon a lot of students who said they voted for Trump or Gary Johnson, but they rather keep it a secret because they fear that they're going to get mocked by their teachers or students. So that's my main thing. It would be, speak up in class if you do have a conservative libertarian view. From my experience, these SJWs, they are a very small percentage on college campus. It's mostly students that are majoring in sociology, gender studies, labor studies, pretty much the majors which do promote the socialist doctrine, and which I think are pretty much useless in the real world. But even though they are a minority, I mean, they do still hold a lot of power on campus, as we've seen over the years. I mean, they've been able to get away with all their childish antics, their safe spaces, their microaggressions, especially since Trump began his presidential campaign. So, I mean, the teachers are always there abetting their behavior. That's why I think it's important that the students that are conservative and libertarian, they do speak up, because the administration is usually always going to be on their side. A lot of these students are in student senate, so they do dictate a lot of school policy in terms of safe spaces and microaggressions, and pretty much attempting to shut down any conservative speaker, which occurred for me and my friends trying to host Martin Shkreli. But like I was saying, they are a minority, and I would encourage students to give their opinion, even if their political views don't align with their teachers. I think this is what college is all about. It's expanding and testing your views. And yeah, I mean, this should also apply for the teachers, but it isn't, because no one's challenging them. They keep on abetting the social justice warriors. They continue to get away pushing their Marxist propaganda. And this is how they brainwash the students into thinking we need more government intervention.
All right. This is all very easy to say, but have you actually done this yourself?
Well, yes, I have. So I'm pretty outspoken in class. And like I said, I've gotten a pretty positive response. Yeah, I mean, I think it really does encourage other students to speak up.
Well, what kind of classes are we talking? I mean, you're not taking gender studies classes, so what kind of classes are we talking about?
I'm not, but my majors are political science and economics, so we're constantly getting into debate about politics, economics, and there are requirements as well. So last semester, I actually had to take a union class, which was pretty much all propaganda. It was all the teacher pushing her agenda of the workers' rights. She works in the labor department, so she also has her own agenda. She likes to go to protests. So you're just not going to get the other side. And that's something I was trying to provide in the class, the conservative side to unions, and explaining to them how I think unions are unnecessary. And I think it does a really good job of encouraging other students to speak up, which is the case for me. A lot of students are speaking up because I choose to pretty much be very open in my classes and not care what the teachers think. A lot of these teachers actually will like you more if you do provide those opposing arguments. Teachers that I disagree with, that I do get along with, I would say even you could email your teachers if you disagree with them, but you can't. You don't really want to talk in class. So there's a lot of ways, I think, that students could speak up in class and not get in trouble. I just don't agree with what you and Tom Young were saying a couple of weeks ago on your podcast.
I mean, I can see both ways, and I guess in a way it just depends on – it is kind of an individual preference based on how much risk you're willing to take. Some people are extremely risk averse, and they would rather just write articles for the, you know, student newspaper that are controversial rather than confront a professor. Well, okay, that's a matter of personal taste, but I do think there are vindictive faculty members out there. I think there are vindictive people who will mark you down for having the wrong opinion. I think that's a fact. So you've not encountered anything like that?
Well, I do think I think the teachers will grade, let's say, a mediocre paper that's liberal. They probably will grade it better than a mediocre conservative paper, right? But I still think if you do produce an A work paper, I don't think, and it's conservative, I don't think they're going to give you a B. I think they're going to have to they're going to have to give you what the paper's really worth. And if you do put in the work, then you do deserve an A. And if he gives you a lower grade, I think you should definitely just go to the administration and complain, or email her, or talk to other students in class. And yeah, I mean, the students are usually on your side. So that's what, yeah, that's what I would say.
All right. So tell me about the sorts of things you're doing on campus. I used to be you when I was your age, and I was causing problems on campus too. I generally wasn't challenging my professors because of my strategic disagreement I have with you, but I was doing a lot of other things, and I suspect you are too. So what are the, tell us what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, me and my friends got together pretty much last semester, and we decided to organize this this club, this Libertarian Club, the Young Americans for Liberty. And what we do, we pretty much, we're out there pretty each once a week, we're out there tabling. I have a really cool poster. I give out copies of the Constitution. And yeah, I always start off with the non-aggression principle. And for the most part, all students actually agree and they want to learn more. I actually made this really cool poster with pictures, which explains the tenets of the non-aggression principle in a very easy way of understanding it. I also have pictures on the posters of Lenin's bread famine and the cannibalism during Soviet Russia, just to show students the dangers of socialism. And like I said, most students stop and listen after a couple minutes of listening. They agree with the whole concept of voluntarism and they want to learn more. And yeah, I've noticed the only people that try to argue with me are usually strict Marxists that don't really know what Marx stood for. They don't really know that he advocated for state power, and a lot of them simply don't know how to respond to libertarianism. But I've gotten a pretty positive response just being out there tabling, giving out copies of the Constitution, and just creating political debate around campus with students that wouldn't otherwise talk to their friends or create talk about politics. So, yeah, I think the students are pretty receptive to me just out there tabling.
All right, so you do that. But you also, tell me about this guest you recently invited. Has that already happened, and who was it, and what was the response?
Yeah, so one thing I think students should also do is try to invite speakers to their school, even if they're like controversial speakers. I think it still creates a lot of political debate around campus. So what we did, we brought Martin Shkreli. He is quote-unquote one of the most hated men in America, so this is how the media paints him as. So right away when we announced it, we got a lot of backlash from Student Senate. So the administration was actually pretty welcoming of Martin, so was the campus PD. But the only trouble we had was with Student Senate.
Well, back up for a minute. You got to tell people who this guy is and why anybody would care about him to be upset about it.
Yeah, so what he did, he's an entrepreneur. He works in the pharmaceutical business. And in 2015, he pretty much raised the price of Daraprim. So he bought the patent to it in 2015. And raised it by 5,000%. But what all these kids don't know is they don't want to do their own research, so this is the only thing they hear about him. They think he's actually killed people in Africa, but they don't know the drug is from 1940s, so he's raising it in order to improve it. Two-thirds of the money actually goes to research, and only a few thousand people use it in the U.S., so this is what the media doesn't tell you, and this is what these kids don't want to research. So, yeah, we brought Martin to our school. It actually went really well, even though there was a lot of protests. For the most part, everyone was pretty receptive to his message and what he was trying to explain about the pharmaceutical business, because a lot of kids came in there expecting to pretty much trash him. And they were just stunned by the fact that they were obviously wrong. There were only a few students who actually embarrassed themselves at the end by rudely asking questions, which he answered for everyone else, and which took him more than an hour to answer. So he talked about the pharmaceutical businesses a lot and how he's not this villain as the media portrays him as. So he was actually born in Brooklyn in a working class community.
to immigrant parents, and he actually worked his way up to become a really successful entrepreneur. So yeah, so he came to our school. We created a lot of political debate, and he taught us a lot about the pharmaceutical business. And but I mean, the only thing the media shows you is pretty much all the protests. That's all they're going to show you. They're not going to report on the lecture, on what he really said. So the only thing you saw on TV was pretty much a girl yelling, "F you, you're a killer," and running out of the lecture. That's pretty much all they showed you. But in reality, he created a lot of political debate and really changed people's minds on what they thought of this guy. So, I mean, after all this, this is the very best part. The teacher who was organizing the protest, he comes in at the very last 5 minutes of the lecture because he was outside protesting. But he comes in, aggressively asks his question. He calls Martin a coward before he's even called on. And he goes on his little emotional rant about how Martin's a killer and he should be ashamed of himself, et cetera, et cetera, with all the news stations behind him to cover it, of course. So you could clearly tell this was all a media stunt. He wanted his moment to shine. But what he didn't know is that the audience was on Martin's side. So they listened to his lecture. They understood that they were wrong. And as the professor's asking the very first question that was asked the very first 5 minutes, he doesn't realize, but he gets ridiculed by everyone there. I mean, everyone starts clapping for Martin. He looks like a fool. The video is actually online. You can look it up.
Oh, I want to see that. I definitely want that video. Send me that.
It's on YouTube. It already has like 15,000 views. But it's called Angry History Professor at UMass Boston. So Martin just pretty much embarrasses this professor. He responds by pointing to the prices of other much more expensive drugs, yet the patients are still able to receive it. So the teacher doesn't understand. He's so anxious. He wants to be right. He wants to keep on interrupting Martin. And Martin just made him look like a fool. I mean, I think he said something within the lines of, "I feel bad for your students that they have to pay so much money to take your classes." I mean, because it's sad, but it's true. I mean, teachers like him, they clearly let their emotions overwhelm their ability to think. So Martin ended it off by making the really relevant point, saying good professors know not to talk about things they don't know. And this was exactly what he wasn't doing. He just came in there last 5 minutes. Tom, it would have been like the nerve of this professor. It would have been if I walked in his class the very 5 minutes and started ranting about a question which took him more than an hour to answer, but I wasn't there, so I didn't know. So yeah.
Right. Well, I want to check out that video. That interests me very much. I want to ask you a couple quick things about yourself personally. You used to be on the left, like you even kind of described yourself as an SJW, just somebody who didn't act like the crazies. If that's true, how are you not one now?
Yeah, that's correct. I used to be more on the left. I started out as an independent always when I was young, and somehow I managed to move to the left. I actually did, very beginning, I actually campaigned for Bernie. But then when I started doing my own research, at first I didn't want to, but then I started looking into his old policies, the free tuition for everyone. And I mean, it sounds good on paper, and he does explain the problems pretty well, but his solutions, once you actually start looking at them, I realize they're not plausible at all. And that's when I started getting more into anarchism and anarcho-syndicalism, and then I eventually ended up at anarcho-capitalism and then libertarianism, of course. So yeah, that's kind of my whole story. But yeah, I was very much into the left. I would only stick to news from the left, so I would only watch pretty much the Young Turks. That's all I would watch. I didn't realize that you have to watch conservative news as well in order to get a good understanding, in order to be able to come up with good opinions. So that's something I kind of realized pretty much like a year ago.
Well, tell me this. You moved to the United States when you were 3, came here from Mexico. I bet there would be some people who would think that on the basis of that, they know everything there is to know about you, including your political views. Have you run into that?
Yeah, I have a lot of people. Well, I mean, identity politics is very rampant in college campuses. So you're kind of, in a way, you're these students always think you have to align with them if you're a certain race or background, which is completely not true. So a lot of these students are confused when they see someone like Milo, I guess, a gay Trump supporter, or just any black Trump supporter. I mean, they don't understand that there's people that just look at the issues and don't stick to identity politics. But yeah, that's been my experience.
So let's see, is there a single place that, I mean, you don't have a website, you're too young for that, right?
No, I don't.
But you have a bunch of articles, right? I can link to some of your articles.
Yeah, so I have my own personal blog that I always share with friends. I do write about social justice warriors. And then I also write for the Borgen magazine. So that just focuses on global issues, politics, and humanity. And yeah, you can also find my articles at the borgenproject.org/blog. And yeah.
Now, what are you going to do? This is your senior year?
Yeah, this is my senior year. So I have pretty much one more semester left before I graduate.
Have you thought about what comes next for you?
Yeah, I have. I definitely do like writing, so I'm going to stick to that. And I also I have ideas for business plans that I'm working on as well. So hopefully when I finish college, I could focus on starting a small business as well, which I'm looking to do. So, yeah.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, maybe I'll rethink my position. At the very least, I've been budged a little. I'll say that. I've been budged a little bit on my position on what should a student do. But I still say it's up to each student to decide, but I won't say you're wrong to do it at this point. It's I can see the benefits because maybe that classroom setting is the only time anybody's ever going to – those kids are ever going to hear a dissenting voice is you, Marcelo, standing up and giving that voice. Maybe that is true. So, you know, I stand corrected on that. Well, I appreciate your time today. Keep on fighting.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's today's episode. Remember, hop on my email list because all the cool people get my emails. And you say, oh, I get too many emails already, Woods. Yeah, well, delete some of those and read mine. You can hop on my email list and get a free ebook at the same time by heading over to sanespacebook.com. You get my brand new ebook, Sane Space, sanespacebook.com, and then you'll start hearing from me. Your days will be brighter. There'll be a magic in your step from now on. So wait not a moment longer. Head over to sanespacebook.com, and I will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.